This episode of TMS is brought to you by Harry's. For guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. That's harrys.com. Coming up on TMS, John Wick is rad.
Friends is not bad.
We were nominated for things.
Adventure Time to the movies.
Remembering Spock.
White people's superheroes.
You're going to love that story. Facebook wants you to live.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Light Bright, the toy that lets you create beautiful pictures with light.
Light Bright, it can be supplied.
Work with colorful pegs that glow with light, light bulb not included. Make people, animals, things, and with refills, Bugs Bunny or Bozo the Clown.
Light Bright, it can be supplied.
You can make lots of pretty pictures with Light Bright from Hasbro.
Clever girl.
I drink to quiet the voices in my head. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS for Monday, March 2nd, 2015. That's almost 2 years ago.
What year? What?
2015 is the correct year. It's hard to believe it's March already, but it is. And we're here. We're doing it. It's me. It's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hey, man.
You sound so much better than you did for a TMS PM Thursday.
Yeah, it was. The Barry White thing has passed. Now it's all moved to my head. It's all in my head.
Now you're all creaky.
Yeah, a little creaky.
A little creaky.
a little choky, a little coughy, a little sneezy. Woke up this morning, my left ear was plugged so
You're
bad.
Three of the seven dwarfs. Awesome. Good for you.
Squeaky, that one dwarf everyone hated so bad.
Uh-huh.
Shut that guy up. I spent the morning trying to clear my left ear. It was so plugged and so, like, couldn't hear out of it that I felt like some kind of old man, because the kids were like, "Dad, have you seen my books?" "What's that you say?" "My books, Dad, my books." Well, shit. I can't hear a thing. It's fine, though. Everything worked out in the end. Hey, I got some news for you, dude. I got news for you.
Hit me with some news.
I'm gonna start with the thing that we have on third here, but we're going to start with this. Turns out you and I, for this show, you for Coverville, us again, and Brian and Brandy for FilmSack, me and the boys for The Instance, Tom for DTNS, all of these shows.
And Jury and...
Oh, and Night Attack.
Yeah, I don't know why I put that one at the end. But
that's right. They got nominated in two categories: the comedy, or no, the not safe for work adult thing, and then the video one. Right?
Video, right? Yeah,
yeah. We're all nominated for podcast awards at podcastawards.com. Now, here's the deal: we've been nominated every year, pretty much. Brian is a venerable, experienced individual in the category. He is nominated in for Coverville. He's been there pretty much every year since it's been available. Which is a
nominated.
Cool thing.
Haven't always won, but.
Have lately, though. Pretty much own that category these days.
Undefeated since, 2011, I think?
Yeah. And I've for every one of these shows, I have won for at least once in each of their categories. So it'll be fun to win again. This would be a first for Tom, I believe, if he wins. And then Night Attack used to be NSFW, and this would be their first win if they win. But anyway, we want to do something a little extra special to pad the voting and win everything this year.
Yes.
Now, they won't let us win. Last year, we won People's Choice Award for TMS as well as comedy, and they won't let us do that again.
Well, plus we're not nominated in People's Choice anyway, so.
Well, none of the people who have won it can be. So we could have been if we hadn't won it last year, is my
point. Right, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because we won last year, you can't be nominated twice for People's Choice. That's a new rule. So we can't be voted for there. But for all these other things, we should be able to totally freaking dominate in each of their categories.
Yeah, we've got a great group of listeners who, you know, while you're listening to the show, while you're listening to the song in the middle of the show or whatever, go and, cast a vote our way. And here's what we've decided. We're going to do something awesome for you guys, for the fans, for the listeners. So we'll have more details as we get closer. But if we win, in whichever categories we win, we will do special fan-specific or listener-specific. I hate using the term fans. You guys are fans.
Yeah, a bunch of fans. listeners,
supporters,
fans of the shows. We'll say that. That's true.
Fans of the shows. Yeah. Exactly. Where you guys get to pick what we do for a full episode of each of these shows.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't promise Tom to do a DTNS.
No, we can't.
Although he already does that, right? I mean, it's all listener supported or listener submitted stories.
Oftentimes, yeah. Some of it not. Yeah. Some of it he's researching himself. But you're not going to be able to go to him and say, Tom, you have to do it in a duck voice for the whole hour. Like, he's not going to be down with that. But we could probably do some goofy stuff. Like, we're willing to go a little further that way.
We will do whatever, almost anything you tell us to do.
Yeah. I mean, Jury will show you his wiener, his ample wiener on the air if you really want him to do
something. Yeah, but that's for him to decide on Night Attack.
Don't let Night Attack do that. So we very much are interested in doing that. We're going to set up a special forum that sends you off to the voting each day. You can vote every day in one category per day during the voting process. And so we're counting on a bunch of you to help us. I mean, let's be honest. We're gaming the system, okay? That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're going to...
Well, it's a system that is made to be gamed.
Yeah. In fact, it's not even really gaming it. The whole system is designed to have people go once a day and vote for stuff they want.
Right.
So we're just saying, that's the rules. Let's maximize it.
Exactly. Yeah, there's nothing that we would be doing by doing that is even regarded as unfair. Like that's what they want you to do. The more people who vote for your show go to their site and vote for your show, the higher your chance is to win.
Yes, that's exactly right. So we'll have something up soon. They don't start voting till tomorrow.
That's right, tomorrow. So I hope this means that since we're nominated for a bunch of stuff, then it increases your likelihood that we'll be seeing you in Vegas in 42 days.
Who, me, you mean, or other people?
You.
Me? Oh, I was planning on going anyway. I'm going.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I'm going for the award thing. There's no way in hell I'm paying for the rest of that crap, though.
Well, sure. Well, I'm paying for the rest.
I know. You're going to take that.
Actually, I'm not. I'm speaking, so I get to go to that crap for free.
Yeah, you take the bullet on all that, and you let me know how all that went. Because that stuff is, well, whatever. This year, I may. Who knows? You guys may walk out of those halls this year and go, Scott, you won't believe it. They have the amazing power of what they've done this year. You may do that,
right?
But I don't think
who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen.
I'm gonna be very
for your little speaky thing. Where are you speaking, by the way? I didn't know about that. What's your deal?
So it's the last morning. I think it's the Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. It's Wednesday morning. It's the morning after the awards, and it's a panel on building a community, a podcasting community or listener community.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'll be talking a lot about TMS and the Tadpool, Coverville and the Coverville Citizens,
the
group we have on From the Helicarrier.
I guess if we win any of these categories, I'm going.
Sure.
If we win,
you won't know though.
Yeah, but if we win, oh, that's true.
Yeah, you have to show up. They don't do the
I forgot, they don't do
the thing anymore where they say, hey, you've won, so please come to Vegas and accept your reward live.
That's a good point, yeah. Okay, well, in that case, I guess I just got to wing it and see.
You got to go. But you know what? When you're out there, I'm going to take you to some off-the-beaten-track places that are going to knock your socks off.
Oh, okay. All right. I trust you.
Yeah.
Will there be nudity?
No, there won't be nudity. Well.
From you, I mean? You know, you? I want to see Nate Bryan nude.
It might be me.
Okay.
I know it won't be you.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I have a confession to make on the show.
Ooh, a confession?
Yep. Pretend I'm behind a kind of lattice work sort of divider between me and the audience who will play the role of the priest. Okay?
Sure. Tell me, my son.
Yes. You're doing it. You're nailing it. Give me the whole thing. Give me the whole spiel.
I don't know the rest of it because I'm not Catholic. I've never been to confession.
Yeah.
But in movies, it's... tell me, my son, what is it you would like to confess?
I think that's probably... We'd ask Len. He knows. He's had to confess a lot of things.
Really?
I'm sure he has. Well, I mean, they're super Catholic.
Len Peralta?
Yeah, they're as Catholic as you get, man. That's why they got the seven kids, you know. So if you asked him, I'll bet he knows exactly what that's like. Isn't that a regular thing for Catholics? Don't they go in there all the time?
I don't know if everybody totally does it.
I mean, they don't normally go in to, like, confess that they killed a guy and then shoot the priest through the hole like the movies have taught us. But... I think they go in for the regular. I think that's a thing you do. I could be wrong.
Well, and Len's confession would probably include him saying, by the way, you can find out all about that in the latest Geek a Week episode that I've posted
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, hey, support my Patreon and I might do another speed drawing or whatever.
I just drew this for you while we were confessing. Here we go.
Well, here, let's read about how often people go to confession. This is just a fun thing here.
Yeah.
Why is it required? How often should you go? Catholics are only required to go to confession when they are aware that they have committed mortal sin. Though they are urged, the faithful are urged to take advantage of it often. One good rule of thumb is to go once per month. This is what the church strongly recommends. In preparation for filling your Easter duty, your communion, they go more frequently during Lent and all the stuff prepping for Easter. So getting ready for the big Easter egg hunt.
Are you still supposed to go even if you didn't do something that requires confessing?
Well, I think you probably just... Well, yeah, that's a good point. Like, what do? You sit down and go, hey, man.
Hey, I was pretty good this month.
What do you have on your shoulders today, my son?
Can I have a chocolate? Do they give you a chocolate if you if you walk into the confession booth and
a little star on your forehead, a little sticker,
a little gold star?
Yeah.
Good job, sticker. Mm-hmm. With Jesus giving you the high five.
There you go. With the winky eye and the thumbs up, like in that movie.
The what is it? Yeah, the buddy Jesus.
What
right.
was that called? The movie was Dogma. Is what that
it's
movie
Dogma.
Was.
Dogma. Yeah.
Anyway, here's the point. What's my point? Oh, I got to confess something.
Confession, you're going to confess something.
I've decided that Friends is good and I shouldn't have badmouthed it.
Wow.
I think what happened, here's what I think what happened. Back in the day when that was on live, I watched like the first season and a half and just thought, this isn't for me because these people don't represent, you know, I've talked smack about it on the show.
Sure.
These people don't represent me. They don't seem like very realistic people. This is, you know, I'm supposed to be in my 20s. My life's nothing like these people's. All that talk. And I think I gave up on it then because of those things and then just forgot about it or didn't care anymore. And now that I've kind of been watching it along with my wife, kind of begrudgingly at first, I kind of find myself really enjoying it and kind of enamored with it and kind of feeling badly that I badmouthed it. So I've always said this. I am one of those kind of people. I will not pick a position and then dig deep and never move from my position. If someone can give me a compelling argument or I can be swayed in some way, I'll come around, man.
You are not so determined that you will not admit when, you know, there's a difference of opinion in something.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. So I'm now this guy who says Friends is good. It is good. It's fun.
So what you're saying is no one told you life would be this way.
Nobody told me life would be this way. Clap, 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 clap. Got to remember the clap, clap part. And I, like a generation of people, when that clap part starts, I have to do it somewhere in the room. Like Kim
right.
will sit next to me and I'll smack her in the butt 6-7 times or whatever and she'll get mad. Yeah. Like it's a fun show. It's funny. It's well written. The characters are, you know, whatever. All the reason people like it. There's a reason it was one of the most popular TV shows in the history of comedy.
By the way, I hear that clapping in the Friends song is the only applause you hear at a Rembrandt's concert these days.
Those poor guys. It's like the Malcolm in the Middle song. It's just so destroyed. When you take your one pop song and let a show just bury it into the ground like that.
Right.
So anyway, it's good and I like it and I enjoy it. I will say this though. There are no black people on that show. None.
No.
Nobody is black. All of New York is not black in Friends universe.
Well, you know, they're friends.
Yeah.
And some of their closest friends are black, but not those friends.
Is there some kind of secret thing about the show? Some conspiracy that they were like white supremacist group of six friends who lived in an apartment somewhere?
I don't know. Yes, and Steven Schleicher in the chat room says, Aisha Tyler, yes, Ross did date a couple of African-American women.
Oh, did he? Okay, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, I guess. I guess I'm still working through the Rachel
years. Randy said there was one of the staff at Central Perk.
Oh, a waitress there. Actually, I think that was me. I did see one. But she was like such a tiny part. They barely even talked to her. She gave coffee. There was a joke from Chandler that may as well have been a tweet, and then she walked away.
Could this show be any whiter?
Yep. Yep. And you know what? Ralph is right. Everything Chandler says could be a tweet. Every single phrase he says could be a tweet. All right. Well, anyway, so I'm here to admit it. Thank you very much. I've admitted it. It's off my chest. I feel good about it. Also, everyone see John Wick. That movie's amazing. I can't believe it took me so long to see it. Came out kind of under the radar, but man, what a freaking awesome movie that is.
As soon as I got your recommendation during FilmSec yesterday, I threw it up as the number one, like the next thing that we receive from Netflix.
I'm very happy to hear that. You're going to love it.
On disc. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't even think we've overhyped it. I think you're just going to like it.
Does he at some point say,
whoa? No, he doesn't ever say whoa. In fact, I think this is probably acting-wise. Uh-huh. I already liked him. I'm a big Keanu Reeves fan. I always have been. I think he's got a look that is awesome and hard to beat. I already liked him, but I will never say that, oh, he's one of our finest actors from this generation. I think this is probably his best acting in a while. Certainly since, like, I don't know, what could I compare it to? I don't even know. I think
The
it's
Matrix?
I think he's good. Yeah, but in The Matrix.
My Own Private Idaho.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
That was a Dangerous Liaisons. I can't use Dangerous Liaisons. He was horrible in that.
Was he in that? I don't even know he was in that.
Yeah, he was. He was the one they were trying to hook up with Uma Thurman.
Oh, me and my friends used to call that movie Dangerous Lesbians because we thought we were being funny, you know. But now, not so funny now. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by.
Enjoy Magic the Gathering?
Yes.
Well, of course you do. Check out On the Stack, the Magic the Gathering podcast with the Tadpool's very own Mike Icewarm and Todd Warcrusher. Each episode, they discuss the latest in Magic the Gathering, also known as card game, news, talk, strategy, review the latest decks, answer your questions, and more. Find them at icewarm.org/magic or on iTunes and Stitcher, i.e. podcast acquisition locations.
Yes, those are a couple of them for sure. Prominent ones. What else is there? Nobody else is doing a big like podcast
Poddle.
Directory.
There's Poddle.
Is there Poddle FM?
No, I don't know. Yeah, that's
I think they do
thing.
Their own. They get their own little listings.
It's their own different thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works.
Podcast aggregation locations.
Look, now that podcasts are back, maybe
Thank
more
goodness.
Will crop up. Yeah. Never left, but now that it's back. All right, Daryl, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah.
You made a comment this morning I have to address. You said something about how Spock, or how Leonard Nimoy's death just lit the internet on fire, yet how can there still not be a regular TV show? And I think there's a fallacy in comparison. First of all, I want to say I agree with you. There should be a Star Trek TV show, and it's a crime that there isn't one. But I don't think, I think it is so easy for us, especially in social media circles, to think that all that blowing up when our entire feed is nothing but Leonard Nimoy references, that means the world at large is doing the exact same thing. And I don't think they are. I think there's some notice. There's some stuff like in CNN as they close out their hour, like, oh, and sad news. Leonard Nimoy passed today, and here's a quick montage of all the Spock moments. All right, anyway, off to the other thing. Like, I don't think it's nearly as pervasive. And so it's not like, my point is, it's not like Paramount's going to go, did you see Twitter this morning? Guys, fast track that Star Trek show now, because clearly we need to, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it works that way. I don't think they notice, you know? Or if they notice, they notice it. But I think we think our voice as a collective social space is way more important than it actually is.
Yeah, well, it should be that important.
Because imagine this. Let's say 50 million people. It wasn't even quite that to that level. But let's just say for fun, 50 million people tweeted about Leonard Nimoy. Okay? That's a lot of people. But in the world population, it's nothing. Hell, in this country's population.
And can I say how glad I was to see those tweets? As sad as the event was, it sure wiped those stupid llamas and that damn dress off the internet
Dude,
for a while.
My gosh, those two things. Ugh. 27th of February 2015. Never forget.
I love that artwork you did, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you saw that. I forgot I even did it until just now. that was a weird thing. But, yeah, so, listen, Leonard Nimoy's passing. Sad. Kind of terrible and awful, and long life, 83.
Yeah,
not like you can complain there, but
exactly, yeah.
But good man, hard to lose, feels shocking. And as a Trek fan, Daryl, that must have been, you know, you had to feel that. You had the feels, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I couldn't even do work the rest of the day that day. Everybody else was walking around the office just being normal, and I was. I was on planet Vulcan.
What you basically did there is describe my whole point, which is the rest of the office just walked around doing their normal day, and a percentage of you had a real hard time with it. I have a feeling that we don't have as many, you know, it's a cultural touchstone for us, but how many people really cared? And that makes me a little bit sad, you know? Like, how many people still just sit around going, Star Trek, that's for nerds. Who cares? He was 83. What's the big deal, they're thinking? And I'm like, no, well, man, it's Spock.
Maybe they weren't connected and didn't hear about it till later.
Could have been.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, could be. All right, well, let's get to your Star Trek question. It's a Monday, which means we have a mashup, and I don't know what's in this. Probably wiener jokes. Let's play it. Here you go.
Where is Commander Riker? And the computer will go,
Commander Riker is in his quarters masturbating.
Ryan's instincts about scrotal sacks was dead on.
Shit is okay. F*** is not good.
Gotcha. Can I have a cheeseburger?
I feel a hard thing, and I start to pull it out.
I want to hang my rucksack out for everyone to see it.
Where the hell?
The urine's not all that bad.
You can see, like, I mean, you can see boobs. You can see crotch. How about a boobie?
I'm still looking for my bag.
Good fiber. Oh, you can't find it? You can't find your sack?
So many of them.
I know. Daryl was born with 5 sacks. I'm just trying to help.
5 sacks.
Trying to help out a buddy Iceworm with some material.
What's CM Punk doing anyway? You know the guy's got talent.
Smoke weed every day, sonny. Smoke weed every day.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
I feel like Iceworm might need actual professional help if we might have to get him some of that. Also, why is everything so crunchy? Like, everything's like a 24K MP3
file. Like he's recording
file.
It from a speaker placed in front of the...
Yeah, they're just so crubby.
A microphone, yeah.
I made up a word, crubby. I don't know what crubby means. Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, Daryl, we got a clip for you. It is from the Next Generation episode of Something Something, and you have to tell us what episode it's from, all right? So it's one of those days. Okay. This is the file. Here you go.
The characteristic response to the Kryzkov Gambit is to counter with the Elm-Mitra exchange, particularly since I've already taken both of your rooks. By missing that opportunity, you have left your king vulnerable.
We'll see.
We'll see, my body. I think that was Troy, right? I think it was.
Yeah, sounded like her.
So. Here's your options. Man of the people, clues, the perfect mate, or conundrum. Man of the people, clues, the perfect mate, conundrum. Those are your options. Mold them about in your mind. Think of them. And while you do, I don't know, what do we have in here? Hold on.
You still have more from that Japanese box, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to make Daryl eat the weird squiddy looking stuff. So here we go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to try. These again are from Muti. We're going to try the little baggie. It says SC on the back in Sharpie.
Okay, it's more of those. Yeah. The number 364, or on 365.
Yeah. Which sounds like like an after-school TV show for kids, doesn't it? It's on 365.
I'm going to have a piece of taffy still left over from Aaron from Arizona.
Oh, perfect. That won't be nearly as bad as these weird fish things we're about to eat.
Oh, you mean those squiggly burnt things?
Yep.
Ew.
Yep. I don't even know what it is. I actually don't think it's fish.
Maybe. Know.
It could be like squid or eel or something. But I like these sorts of things, so I'm not concerned.
I'm kind of happy I don't have whatever you guys are eating.
Yeah. This is like medieval taffy is what we have.
Oh, I can't open it. I give up.
Yeah, right. Look at those serrated ends. Just grab those. Peel.
Oh, it smells fishy.
Yeah, it does. Here, I'll give you the head start here on mine.
Oh, it looks a little like bacon. Oh, are you gone? Did you hang up?
I'm eating it.
Oh, no, you're still there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to eat this thing. I was trying to get out of it.
Mm-mm. You were hoping we had disconnected?
Oh, this is hard. Isn't that taffy?
Yeah, that taffy is harder the longer it doesn't get eaten, Brian.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's about as chewy as this fish lung or whatever it is.
Fish lung. That's the problem is we don't really actually know what this is. Squid something? I like it.
Huh.
It's basically fish jerky. I love it. You know how, Brian, none of you guys like the squid we had and all that. I love that stuff. I was raised on it. My brother always had it.
I'll pass on that. No, that
one's good. That one's really good. You're crazy. All right. Hold on. Look at my fish bacon.
It's not horrible. It's not barfalicious, but no.
It's not the worst thing you put in your mouth. That you can say.
No.
I spit it out just because
it's too hard.
It was just, yeah, exactly. It was going to be a good 5 minutes of really bad Brian on TMS.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
No.
I got a couple people that say that they'll murder me in my sleep if I play your gag sound again.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. It really gets them.
It's really offended people. Jeez.
Oh, hardcore. All right, Daryl. Back to your, back to you. This day in Trek or a birthday? What do we got?
Well, let's see. On this day in 1987, ILM begins constructing the 6-foot Enterprise D filming model for a new show called Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Ah, one that didn't get canceled, or was a Shatner Western in 1959. That's great. And good thing they did.
1987. Wow.
That would, you know, the longer time goes, the less I like that Enterprise design. It's definitely,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's got an 80s vibe to it that it doesn't age well in my opinion. I think it's great in the context of the show and it looks cool, but I don't think that ship would work in a movie now. Like even
streamlined though. You mean the exterior or the interior?
The exterior. Or the interior for that matter. All that carpet. What? That carpet and wood panel and stuff. No way, dude. That was 80s as shit, that stuff.
The wood paneled little sweeping arc that separates the the good staff from the bad staff.
Mostly it's the carpet and the decorating is like my aunt did it. Like it's just not. There's nothing modern about it. It all looks like it was a home decor stuff. So I never liked that about TNG.
Okay, I'll give you that some of the interior is dated, but I can't see how you can complain about the exterior. It's the TOS Enterprise, but smoothed out and streamlined like
80s.
Well.
Right?
I don't know, like a Trans Am.
All right.
Like
Enterprise D. When did the D blow up? Was that in First Contact?
Generations, right?
Hold on. I think you're right.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Was it Generations?
That was Generations.
The movie version of that is way cooler than the TV version. And it's supposed to be the same ship. So they even updated it there. You
know, the bigger budget plus the movie came out, the first movie was 1994?
Seven.
97?
I think. Hold on. Now I'm bugged and I have to find out. Star Trek Generations. Generations. Oh, it's not finding it. What IMDb, are you smoking the crack? There we go. Oh, you're right, 94. You're totally right. Yeah, there it is, 94. And the ship just looks better in the movie.
They had 7 years since they did the first one.
Sure, but they added these hard edges to it, and it's just a less stupid-looking ship. Someone out there has to agree with me. Come on, write in. Let's figure this out. All right, Daryl, let's get back to the thing. Happy birthday to that moment in time.
Happy birthday to the Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. The Enterprise D. Although I think E. Well, you know what? Honestly, what's your favorite ship? Who's got a favorite ship?
I like the D.
Yeah,
I think probably
D for me. Yeah,
I like. I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I like the Enterprise, the first one, the Archer one. I think that thing's cool.
Oh, that NX-01.
Mm-hmm. It's all industrial.
It kind of looks like my least. I think it's my least favorite because it looks like it was stamped out of something flat. It's just too flat.
It's definitely boxy, but that's I think I like about it. There's something something primal about that ship. There's
I'm trying
something
to find a good
about the other ones.
Image online of like all the different models compared to each other. Here we go. Enterprise.
I also thought Voyager was pretty cool looking ship.
But that's not an Enterprise.
Well, no, but I just mean Star Trek ships.
But you didn't say that.
If we're talking just Enterprise. I think I'd still go with the Archer Enterprise. I mean, the old one was just a cheesy late 60s looking weird thing. TNG was too carpeted and sleek.
I'm looking. I still like the D. I still think it's...
You like? Do everyone hear that? Brian likes the D. Do everyone get that?
I like the D.
good stuff.
Nice warm.
Use that, buddy. All right. Well, Brian, Daryl, let's get back to your thing here, to your question here. That clip I played, it's from one of these episodes. It's A, B, C, or D. It's Man of the People, Clues, The Perfect Mate, or Conundrum. Do you know which one?
Oh, I have no idea. So this will be a guess. I don't think it's C, whatever that was.
C was The Perfect Mate.
Perfect Mate. What was A?
A was A Man of the People.
Man of the People.
2009 Enterprise is pretty cool. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, I didn't like it at all.
I think it's
the
all right.
2009 Enterprise. Which one is that?
The movies.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
The J.J. Abrams business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll have to say B again.
I'll have to say B again.
What is B?
B is Clues.
Oh, like Blue's Clues.
Yeah. I wonder just like who it's from. We just got a letter. Man, my kids were so into that when they were young. Oh, man.
Here's the mail. It never fails. Makes me want to wag my tail. When mail. It comes, I want to wail. Mail!
Yeah, we know how old Tristan is then. That's yep. how you tell old somebody's kids are, is how well their parents know the stupid shows they totally. Watched. That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay, and D is what again?
D. Sorry, D is Conundrum.
I don't know. I think I'm going to pick D because of the Enterprise D being built today in 1987.
Okay. Well, let's find out if he's right.
For no other reason.
That's a weird reason, but let's see if you're right. Here we go.
Congratulations.
Oh, lucky really?
Bastard. You're a winner.
They're playing chess, and Troy wins the game. Part of their bet, Data makes her drink during the ship is scanned. What? As part of their bet, Data makes her a drink. During this, the ship is scanned by something that messes with the crew's memory. As soon as Data tells Troy to enjoy her drink, he starts to act weird. And that's your show. That's your episode.
Use a comma, Mike. They're free.
Yeah. Commas are free. You don't have to pay a thing. Also, paragraph breaks, amazingly cheap. I wish more people would use those.
We love you, Mike.
Yeah, we do. Daryl, you're the Trek nerd on Twitter. Everyone knows that, but let's tell them anyway. You can also find them at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Drunky Cast. That'd be a great show.
Drunky Cast.
The Grumpy Drunk Cast. You can find the Grumpy Cast on the internet as well. Daryl, why don't you now play a game with us? What are we all out of Shatner and 59s, or we got more of those?
We're out of those, and I wrote a bunch last week before the certain sad event, and I thought, well, he's in the hospital, it was an emergency, he might die. If he dies, am I going to read these anyway? Mm-hmm. And I think I am.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
So, this is William, you'll guess either William Shatner or Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
And these... Yeah, I think you'll do really good at these. These are movies. And I guess if you want a clue, I can read the IMDb description also. But I'll just say the title.
All right.
Old Overland Trail, 1953.
Old Overland Trail.
And it starred either Shatner or Nimoy.
Mm-hmm. Here's your theme.
Are you trying to be funny, Mr. Spock?
There you go. Okay. This is total shot in the dark, dude.
Yeah, Shatner did. I don't know about Nimoy doing any Westerns, so...
I can kind of see something with him in a cowboy hat, but I don't know why I have that memory. Mm-hmm. And it could be from anything. It doesn't necessarily mean it's from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to, if I think of things where these two guys did stuff previous to Star Trek, I always think Westerns. And, yeah. And when I do, I think Shatner. So I feel like Shatner.
Okay.
You agree?
I agree. I say we go Shatner.
We go Shatner.
Okay, the IMDb thing is Indian agent Rex Allen must protect... Why am I reading this? This is so dumb. Must protect local citizens and a tribe of why can't I say volatile?
I don't know, but I love how you ask the question every time you get hung up. Why is it I am saying this thing? Then you read some more. Why am I reading this? I love it. It's one of my favorite things.
I'm not reading this. Anyway, this starred Rex Allen, Slim Pickens, and Leonard Nimoy.
Damn it!
Oh, man.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of in the cowboy hat.
Maybe.
That totally could be. It makes me want to watch old Leonard Nimoy stuff. Rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, let's get into the news here. Cartoon Network has got news for you, Brian.
Okay.
I know you're a fan of Cartoon Network's great.
Yeah, it is great.
The Adventure Time's getting a big movie, Adventure Time movie.
Really?
Yeah, my kids are excited.
I guess that's the natural progression, right? You know, you're your SpongeBob translated into a film and... A
couple of them now, yeah.
Yeah.
Even had the Rugrats had a movie. That was, I guess that was Nickelodeon, but... Actually, both those are Nickelodeon.
That's true. SpongeBob wasn't Cartoon Network. Would this be the first Cartoon Network
I'm thinking.
Movie? Because there wasn't a Powerpuff Girls movie.
No. There wasn't.
Maybe some direct-to-video stuff. But
there was never that promised Samurai Jack movie either.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they promised, but they never did it. Well, anyway. Huh. Looks like Adventure Time is the next candidate, and makes perfect sense to me. By the way, it was almost a Nickelodeon show. The pilot was shown on Nickelodeon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But ended up going to Cartoon Network. Adventure Time, one of the most popular shows on the network, is being developed at Warner Brothers for the first, or for the big screen as a animated adventure. Let's see. Skipping ahead. So this looks like they're going to follow the escapades of 12-year-old boy Finn and his best friend dog Jake.
The name is wrong though, right? It's not going to be called Adventure Time Screensaver 1.
No, if it is, then we all should die. There's no way that can be right. I don't know how that got in there. I gotta ask Jenny. She put this one. She threw this one into the story pool, and I'm not sure why that title's like that. Isn't that weird? Adventure Time Screensaver _1.
Probably just what the photo's called. So
yeah. Well, this is Pendleton Ward's cartoon, and he'll be producing, of course, which is good. And something with the Ice King will be in there, and the Princess Bubblegum will be in there, and the production will start very soon. So watch for that.
Cool.
I'd see that. I like that show a lot. It's really weird. It's kind of psycho. It's
good. I've only watched an episode or two. I need to get back into it. But I like the fact that, I can't remember his name, Bender. The guy who does the voice for Bender is in that too.
Oh, John DiMaggio, yeah.
DiMaggio, yes.
Yeah. Right. And more importantly, let's see if I can find this. Adults who watch that show regularly, guess what they do?
Smoke weed every day.
That could be any number of things. I'm not even going to guess.
They smoke weed every day. Oh. Some links. Check this out. Let's talk about Leonard Nimoy.
Okay, by the way, people are confirming that there was a Powerpuff Girls movie that did go straight to DVD, but it was good.
Oh, but not in the theaters.
Not in the theaters.
Okay, good. That was still, who was that back then?
That's what I said, too. I said probably went straight to DVD.
Yeah.
People think they're correcting me, and they're not.
Thanks, chat room.
Yeah.
They have new ways of distracting you. They start.
The chat room is distracting themselves to the point where they don't listen to us.
That's right. They don't even know what the show's about, the chat room.
Vote for TMS in the podcast awards.
What? We were talking. What? Obama is among the Star Trek fans mourning the death of Spock and its legendary actor, Leonard Nimoy. The commander-in-chief released a statement praising Nimoy, recalling his love for the character when he first met the actor. Long before being nerdy was cool, there was Leonard Nimoy, says Obama in a statement at the White House. All the conservatives probably hate this, don't they, that he's even taking the time to say anything.
Fixing the country.
Yeah, well, this isn't part of your job. Leonard was a lifelong lover of the arts and humanities, a supporter of the sciences, generous with his talent and his time. And of course, Leonard was Spock. Cool, logical, big-eared, and level-headed. The center of the Star Trek optimistic.
Oh, whoa, Obama.
Easy, buddy.
Let's not call him big-eared.
Jeez.
Pointy-eared. Yeah. Did you ever watch the show?
He says, I love Spock, so I assume that means he did. Obama reflected on a meeting he had in 07 with the man and gave him the Vulcan salute, describing the latter as a universal sign for live long and prosper. And after 83 years on this planet and on his visits to many others, it's clear Leonard Nimoy did just that. So it's very nice little thoughts from, you know, if the president doesn't always, whoever's in office, okay, get it out of your heads, conservatives, that it's Obama right now, just whoever's in office. They all make comments when it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Spock is being a big enough deal to mention. That's great.
Yeah.
Totally cool. You know, nobody got up and went, as far as I know, I could be wrong about this, but did the president say anything about Philip Seymour Hoffman? I don't think so.
I don't think he did. No.
He's a great actor, but you know, does he have the same culture? Like there's been this argument going around that Spock as a character is as important as any character archetype that humanity has ever created, in that it's one of the unique ones. So it's like, help me think of another one. Like Spartacus is a bad one, but I'm trying to think of some iconic characters. Like Indiana Jones stands the test of time, will always be around, right?
Right. Yes.
What's another one? There's others.
Same degree, Han Solo. Or,
sure. Who else? There's more. Harry Potter.
There you go. Okay. I know I'm trying to come up with James Bond.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So when one of those actors dies, we'll see the same kind of business.
Well, maybe, but even those characters like Sherlock Holmes, who is, you know, played by people, but he's venerable character, been around forever. their point was that Spock is as unique and as sort of titular as any of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree with that.
Sure.
And I'm biased, but that's fine. I still agree with it. HelloFresh.com agrees with me as well. And I, man, do I agree with HelloFresh.com. When it comes to making cooking fun again, every single week, their chefs make great recipes. All you have to do is go pick the ones you like, and they'll send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. And then you just cook the thing. It's like 30 minutes or less, and you're there. Visit HelloFresh.com today. Check out what they've got, and use the code MorningStream, one word, for 50% off for your first time visit. That's MorningStream for your first time there. All right. Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay.
What do we know her most from?
I know her most from Lost.
Yeah, season two, and was part of three.
She was in the tail, and separate from the main group. And I can't remember. I think season three and four.
Was it three and four? I thought it was two and three.
No, because one ends with them opening the hatch. They don't even know about the tail section.
Right, that was three.
Yeah,
and then she got fired, kind of, or there was controversy because she got DUIs and stuff.
She got DUIs in Hawaii driving around, and
right. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember how it went down. But anyway, I like her. I've always liked her. She's fine. Mm-hmm. She flew one of them helicopter deals in
G.I. Joe, or what was she? It was one of those, right?
No, it was the Blue People movie.
Avatar?
Avatar, yeah. She's the Avatar pilot.
Okay.
Anyway, she says she wants minorities to stop stealing all the white people's superheroes.
Wait, what?
This really? Is an awesome line, yeah. There have been rumors that Michelle Rodriguez would star in the new Green Lantern movie, but she's here to quash them. When asked about the movie, Rodriguez quickly denied any involvement and said, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I think it's so stupid because of this whole minorities in Hollywood thing. It's so stupid. Stop stealing all the white people's superheroes. Make up your own. What's up with that?" she says.
The white people's superheroes.
Yeah. By the way, she's up. She put a. She posted a response to her Facebook. She says she thinks the minority should attempt to come up with their own mythologies. And she was a little harsh about it, but her point is, you don't have to make all the heroes black or Hispanic. Just make up your own. Is her thinking?
I see.
So she probably that would be speaking directly to like Johnny Storm.
Right, the Michael B. Jordan Johnny Storm, or the talk that Spider-Man is going to be non-white.
Yeah, some of the rumors. I don't even care. None of this matters to me.
Spider-Man, make
whoever you want. I don't care if Peter Parker's a different color than he was in the comics. What do I care?
Exactly.
Finally, Facebook is rolling out new tools to help prevent suicide. What? Well, that's good, isn't it?
It's good. Of course it's good.
Okay. Well, what if it's Facebook that wants me to commit it, though? What if it's Facebook what if, is the reason?
What if it's reading Facebook that triggers my sadness and depression? And
well, let's see what they're doing. It says this week, Facebook begins to roll out a new option inside each post that lets users flag when a friend may be considering self-harm. Oh, that's interesting. In the concerned party, so let's say it's me, Brian, and I type, well, that's a really good episode of Better Call Saul. Had great lasagna tonight, but man, I think it's time to end it all.
That's...
Okay, let's say that's what I do.
Your Facebook post. Okay.
Yeah, and you see it. You're just stumbling through there. You're like, oh, funny cat video. Oh, there's that lady, religious freak out lady. Okay. Oh, what's this? Scott's going to kill himself. So now, in the upper right corner of the status, you click report post. When the person logs in next, Facebook will then offer options to contact the person concerned about them. Enlist the help of another friend or put them in contact with suicide helplines. Doesn't sound like anybody is going to try to prank anybody with this.
Oh, God, no kidding, right?
Good gosh, that's what I worry about. They've teamed up with mental health organization Forefront, Four Matters Now, and the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and Save.org to make it easier for users to show their concern. Features will be available initially to those in the U.S., and Facebook says it will complete a rollout within the next couple of months here in the U.S. It also vowed to improve its tools for users in other parts of the world. What's the word? Like, a lot of people use the service to do their suicide note, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You see this all the time. Their final post is some sad thing.
Right, some allusion to what they're doing. Not illusion, but allusion.
Yeah, sometimes it's not even an allusion. Sometimes it's just, I'm going to kill myself. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for all the fish. And then they leave, and that's it. So, I don't know what the quick response is on this or what... if you're suicidal and you get a thing from Facebook saying a friend of yours was concerned about you, would that be enough for you to go, well, maybe it doesn't, maybe anything
it
is
might.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it, you know, what's this saying? If it keeps one person from doing it, isn't it all worth it? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. And it's certainly not going to make, I doubt it's going to make anyone say, oh no, I'm really going to do it.
Yeah. He's concerned.
Larry's worried about me. Well, take this, Larry.
Yeah, take that. I'm going to do it today instead of tomorrow like I plan.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So as long as it helps, you know, I think it's a good thing. And I'm sure there will be folks that that abuse it and, you know, whatever. There are always going to be people who who do that sort of thing. But the fact that it might help somebody, hey, great, awesome.
It is the internet after all. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to tell you about our friends at Harrys.com. If you'll notice, I've got quite the beard going, and people are thinking, why is Scott doing that? I had a two-part bet with a kid in the neighborhood. One is that because of the Seahawks loss, I wouldn't shave for a long time. I'd grow my beard out. And B...
How long a long time are we saying? Like, well, did you quantify this?
I didn't, and that's the problem. I don't know when to end it.
Oh,
no. I'm going to have to negotiate. The other deal was I have to bleach my hair, and I haven't done that yet. So I'll let you guys know when that happens. There'll be a video of that. Okay. But I still have to shave my neck because I am not willing to be Mr. Hairy Neck Man while I have this beard going.
The way I do it is with
that
groomed.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do it with Harry's razors at harrys.com. I love these guys. This whole episode's brought to you by them, by the way. So let's admit it. Shaving with dull blades isn't fun. Sometimes you cut yourself, scrape yourself, whatever. Dull blades suck. You can even draw blood all the time. Mm-hmm. Razors are expensive. They're like $4 a blade. If you ever had like a Gillette Fusion, you know how expensive it is to feed that thing with blades. And then when you go to buy them, some doofus at Walmart's got to open up a locked cage as if there are video games in there or something. It's lame. So instead, go to harrys.com, who's fixing all of this. High quality razors, about half the price of the big brand blades. Just know that they come from their incredible factory in Germany, where everything's based on the sharpness, high performance. No more dull blades that suck. And they'll deliver everything straight to your door. That's the best part.
I had to pull up video so I could see your beard because I haven't had the TMS video going up on my screen in a while, and I don't see you in Skype.
Yeah.
So I had to check out this glorious beard.
It's not too long yet, but we're getting there. It's starting to annoy me. That's how I know it's getting long. Mm-hmm.
He wants you to do something ZZ Top level, doesn't he?
He kind of does, I think. Yeah. If he's being honest, he's only 11, but he thinks this is real funny. Anyway, the Winston set is fantastic. That's the one I got. Came right to my door. It's amazing. You guys should try it. I've been trying them for a while now, and I love them. Harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. Get $5 off your first purchase with a coupon code. That code is MorningStream, all one word. That's Harrys.com and the coupon code MorningStream for $5 off. Thanks, Harrys, for sponsoring the show. When we come back, major spoilers, V for video games, your emails, and more. Before all of that, music with Brian.
Sure. Well, this one's going out to Fabian. Says, hello, synesthesiac and brachycatalectic. Whoa. I literally Googled hard words with B for that one. He says, for years, I try to come up with a perfect request for a TMS break or end song. I give up, Brian. Would you please play a version of this song chosen nearly at random? Actually, I recognize the beginning sounds as I rewatched 1997's Flubber a few minutes ago and looked it up. That locker room scene might have sparked the love for that tune 18 years ago. If you seriously don't want to play my request, you can always play that cowboy ad song. Low gravity goo, yo. Fabian, the male kind from Germany.
Tummy starts a rumbling. Is that the one?
That's the one, yes. Right. It's funny how so many requests credit that or mention that tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
So good.
Darius Rucker song.
Yep.
But Fabian said, here's what I want. I want a cover of Alan Parsons' Eye in the Sky, Sirius and Eye in the Sky. There's on the Alan Parsons version, they actually have an instrumental that begins Eye in the Sky, and it's the one they used back in Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan days to introduce the team. That's the one. Yep. Well, I've got a few covers that include that Sirius thing, but it makes the song like 7 minutes long. So we're not going to do one of those. However, this one's really good. It's a band called Parallax from a 2013 album called Recovery. I think it might be my favorite cover of Eye in the Sky. And here it is, Parallax.
Jelly Oil Company, you know, was the originator of tailor-made gasoline. And tonight, I'm going to tell you something I just found out about mittens. Yeah, that's right, mittens. You know, the three little kittens lost their mittens, those things. Well, now, what I found out about mittens is this. You see, we have different kinds of mittens for different parts of the country and for different kinds of weather. Way up in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin, they put on two pairs of woolen mittens and a pair of leather ones besides sometimes.
This is the morning stream. Game over, man. Game over.
All right, we're back. That was an awesome cover.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
They did a whole album. That album is Recovery, and there's a few things on there, all really good.
I liked it. Okay. Get rid of her.
It's the three boob lady.
We're going to change things up real quick. It looks like Veronica's got a thing she has to go to early, and so I'm going to bring her in first.
Okay.
So, Steven, if you're listening, hang in there, buddy. Don't go anywhere. You're coming up after V. Not the show V, where they eat a gerbil, but Veronica right. V.
Also starred Michael Ironsides.
Did it?
Uh-huh.
I remember that. Was he an alien?
No, I can't remember what he was.
I can't remember if he was one of those or not. I'm kind of having the memory that he was in it, though.
Yeah.
Let's get this.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was an alien.
Ooh, look, we have a new theme. Hey, it's Veronica.
Good morning.
Good morning. How the heck are
Hello.
You?
Was that from Elvis Costello?
It feels
that
like
was a cover,
cover
of
yeah.
Veronica by Elvis Costello.
Okay, because I recognized that bit, but I didn't recognize the voices.
Right. The melody is the same, but female singer, I can't remember who. Who that was.
V,
but,
here's the question. Did that song haunt you through all your young life? Like,
it
constantly?
It did. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm it sure. did. Yeah. It was like every camp counselor, every babysitter, every person I ever met knew that song and sang it to me. Mm. And I was like 5. I didn't know Elvis Costello from Barney the Dinosaur. So sure. I just, right. you know, I had no idea.
Yeah. And you can
but
say,
I'm a fan
that's
now.
A song yeah. that he wrote about his mom. That's not even about, you know, a young girl. It's about his mom.
Sure.
His elderly mother.
His
yes.
elderly mother.
Well, I just knew yeah. what it was like to have people talk about Scott brand tissues and things when I was growing up and how much
so, yeah,
I resent
I guess
them.
You don't really think about all the things that other people have to deal with their name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. like I never would have even thought there would be anything to make fun of for Scott.
Yeah. You
and
wouldn't
now
think,
I know that.
But then there's Scotty Potty, and then they, you know, people go, there are sure. lengths they can go to. Let's just say that.
I was pretty safe with Brian. There weren't a lot of songs that contained the name Brian.
Yeah, except for Brian's song, which is a movie, I guess.
Well, yeah,
one of my
but that
favorite,
was an instrumental, too. You don't sing, it's Brian's song.
One of my favorite Simpsons episodes is the one where Homer and Marge are trying to think of the name for the new baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they go through every single, like, jokey, like, you know,
oh,
I don't like Veronica right. Harmonica,
right?
Brian's
rhyme.
Lion.
Yeah.
And they go, well, we can't really do that with Bartholomew. They don't think Bart fart.
Perfect.
Bart,
it's a good one. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Veronica, it's always good to have you on. We got you on a little early today talking video games. We do this every week that we can. I know you just had a whirlwind trip to Vegas last week. I hope everything went well.
Yeah, it did. It was nuts. So that was by far the biggest event I've hosted. Probably it was like 21,000 people.
Oh, good Lord.
It was crazy. It was good though. It was like a week. I was there for a week. Yeah. No one needs to be in Vegas for a week.
Well, you had me at those weird glowy throbbing wristbands you showed video of. Like, I want to know what the hell those things were. Those were so cool. What was that
yeah,
you were looking at?
Yeah, they were cool. They were used for a lot of different things, but I think my favorite one was everyone was in the audience and they picked someone to get backstage like passes and get to meet and greet with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And whoever's wristband lit up was the winner. I just thought that was kind of fun because people were
really
losing
cool.
their minds.
That was
yeah.
so cool. The way it looked, so her video was like a pile of them and they were all being lit up at the same time, I guess. And it just,
yeah.
it looked like some kind of throbbing alien goo. It was really cool
at the concert, too, because they can sync them all to do different stuff.
Yeah.
So across the whole arena, like all the glowy bands will start lighting up in cool patterns and designs.
That's
and
cool.
I love stuff like that. Yeah.
It's kind of like what they do something similar with Disneyland with like the balloons that have lights in them.
Totally.
And, during that ending thing, they always sync up with the Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
Look, anything show. To meet yeah. Steven Tyler cool. and help him on his walker would be fun. Well, it's cool to have you back talking video games. What has been? That's how I know you were back, because I saw you pop into WoW. What is what's going on this week?
Well, there's been a report that IGN is reporting on about why players choose which console they choose.
Ooh.
And this is specifically talking about why people pick Xbox One over PlayStation 4, or if there were a Wii owner in the past. And it was interesting to me because they kind of go down the line of people who bought an Xbox One typically had an Xbox 360 beforehand, and they cited brand as the primary reason for upgrading to the next generation console and staying with that. But PlayStation 4 owners were going more for better resolution and the Blu-ray player. So they were going more for technical specs and things like that, not necessarily because they owned a PlayStation 3 previously. And then there were some switchovers. Some people went from Xbox to PlayStation for those reasons as well. And I just thought, I was wondering why you guys pick what consoles you pick, or if there is a different reason.
That's a really good question. It's funny because this generation, more than any, when it kind of happened as announcements and then became reality later, for me, it really did boil down to who was telling me a better tale. And I wasn't into anything in this particular generation. I wasn't into anything that Microsoft was telling me. I wasn't into Kinect 2 or everything done with your voice or a camera that would watch me all day, at least in those early days when all of that was a big deal. And this sort of online all the time thing that they were committing to. And then their focus on TV and cable and having this thing be your cable box, and none of that interested me, and they hardly talked about games, and I just thought, well, that's goofy. What are we doing here? And when Sony came out, and Jack Trenton, who was still there at the time, made the announcement, they convinced me they were focused on me as a player, and they wanted me to play a lot of video games on this console, and I really bought into that. Like that to me was the big turnover, because up to that point, I wasn't really. And part of that is, oh yeah, the slightly better specs, better resolution. You know, whatever, that sort of technical stuff, but their adherence to this should be a game console and a media box second, whereas Microsoft's seemed to be selling me a media box first and a game console second, really did turn me to get a PS4 this generation.
I don't play PlayStation anymore, which is kind of funny, I guess, considering my history of working with the brand. But for me, it's always been about who is on what console, what are my friends playing? And it's kind of been for me throughout the years, mostly Xbox, but mostly PC. So I kind of just play everything on PC now, because that's where all my pals are going to be.
Well, I should have said that too, because that does kind of end up where I'm at most of the time. It's like the consoles are, and I do have friends and it's great and it's all that. But if I'm hunkering down for a good gaming session, I'm usually on my PC.
If I'm feeling social, if I want to have a beer and play, do a couple of instances or raids or whatever, it's going to be PC. I don't really play Xbox for social, because if I'm playing Xbox, I'm playing the single player mode almost exclusively, because I just don't play multiplayer on Xbox because it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It's funny because that console is known for its, certainly in the 360 days especially, but known for its being good at multiplayer, like being a solid place to get that experience. You even have to pay for it, or did in the past, and now still do, but now they all do. But my point is that that was the place where you had multiplayer, yet it's toxic and yucky, and I don't like to play over there either. Brian, how do you pick?
For me, it was the games. It was knowing that there was going to be another Uncharted, Infamous 2 actually was a big, or Infamous 3, whichever one was announced with PS4. It didn't come out until a couple months afterwards. But
Infamous Second Son is the one you're thinking of.
Second Son is the one, yeah. And the announcement of that, I picked up Clack or whatever that game was and kind of was disappointed with that. But I'm trying to remember, there were three games I got when I got the PS4, and they were all ones I was really excited about that I think were exclusives.
That was another reason cited for Xbox and for PlayStation.
Sure. If you're a Halo fan, we've got one direction to go, or a couple directions to go, neither of which are PS4.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Also, it's interesting. Now that you mention games and exclusives, a big push for me and picking what console I wanted was indies and where they were going to show up. And Sony had shown a lot of forward thinking as to how easy it would be for indies to publish and to self-publish and to update and to do all kinds of free-to-play experiences and basically do what the PC had already been doing pretty strongly for years now. And two of my favorite, well, half the reason I love my PC is the indie environment, and half the reason I love that PS4 is the same thing. And I love finding out when some new small, you know, $15 experience shows up on there that I can't necessarily get someplace else. And they seem to be a little bit more on that than Microsoft this round, which is ironic because Microsoft with Xbox Live Arcade kind of invented that whole thing. And it feels like, you know, Sony's late to the game, but they're really kind of owning that now. But again, I'd end up drifting right back to the PC again because, A, typically that stuff's cheaper, but also, you know, Steam is like this breeding ground for crazy, weird, small experiences that I won't find anywhere else.
Yeah.
So.
And yay, 100.
Yeah. Woo. Right?
Oh, getting congratulations.
Thank you.
Not only but your gear score is looking pretty good, I noticed. That'll put you in line to raid soon.
I'm like 625 now.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, so and that is on no small part to our guild members who have been running me through instances and helping me get gear and helping me figure out what to buy on the auction house and you know, making it so I can even get into the heroics.
What do you think about the garrison stuff? Because last we talked, you hadn't really delved in much on that. What do you think about that whole setup?
I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wish I could do more decorating.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Like, more customization in there would be a really neat thing.
I wish it looked more Tauren-y. Mm-hmm. I wish it felt more like Mulgore. Mm-hmm. I wish it was like, you know, I could make it more like really, I don't know. I love it, though. I've been having a lot of fun picking the buildings and leveling them up and doing the quests for the garrison. Yeah. And I enjoy seeing all my little followers moping around. And it's...
saluting you at every turn.
Whatever it is they do when I'm not around.
Sure. No, that's cool. I'm glad you're all back in like that. We gotta get together and do some stuff.
It's bad though, guys, because I'm like really obsessed again, and I'm scared I'm gonna... This is a topic for a different show, and we can talk about it some other time. Yeah. But I feel like I'm back in it too much, and I'm gonna stop doing other things that I should probably be doing for like my career and life.
It'll probably be like a little wave right now, right? I mean, you'll get... Mm-hmm. To a point where maybe you log in 3 or 4 times a day, do your garrison stuff, but then maybe 2 or 3 nights a week you'll jump on and actually do an LFR or something like that. It'll taper down. That's what it did for me anyway.
Yeah, there's that initial blast, and then you'll settle into what you want to do. And I feel like the game is more approachable now in that way than it's ever been, where you can just get in, quickly do a few things that are important to you, a quick daily, a quick run of LFR, a quick garrison check, and then get out. And in the past, there was more you had to kind of commit to. It's like, well, I got to wait around for these guys, or we got to do this thing together. And now you can just kind of get in, get out. So maybe this is better suited for how you want to live your
gaming
life.
For this crazy WoW lifestyle.
It's so funny. It's so full circle since, I mean, the first we ever met was over WoW conversation, and to have it be this much later and have there be 100 levels and have all this stuff happening and having you get back in like this is, I'm having all kinds of weird nostalgia.
Deja vu. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even notice that Brian's wearing an Elvis Costello shirt. That is adorable.
I saw it last night. I saw him last night actually at the Boulder Theater. And that's what made me whip together that quick Veronica tag.
Yay.
Yes. Good. Well, let's hear it one more
time. Because he sung that, and he sung it in his weird little nasal.
And listen how nice it is. Listen how nice it is. I can't think of a nicer way to end this whole thing.
Love it. Thank you, guys.
V, what you got anything to pimp? Are you good? You got anything cool going on? What's going on?
No, Sword and Laser listeners out there, we're moving the show. It's going to be coming out Wednesday night. So if you're looking for it on Tuesday and you're like, where's the show? It's going to be Wednesday nights from now on because I have dog agility class on Tuesday nights.
Well, that's the kind of gear you want to look for is the agility gear, and that'll help you with your dogs.
Yes, the intellect and the agility for my dog.
Does your dog do the weeds thing?
She's going to at some point. We're in the very early stages. Yeah.
The weeds.
I don't know if she's going to be a competitor, but she enjoys doing it.
I'm going to make Brian explain to me what the weeds thing is later because that's interesting.
Run the weeds every day.
Veronica, have a fantastic day. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye.
See ya. The weeds are those like it's a series of vertical poles that they have to zigzag back and forth around like a slalom kind of thing.
Okay. Right. And they have to be able to do that without you running next to them, right? They have to...
Right.
Okay.
Right. They have to do it on their own. I mean, you'll run next to them, but you can't run through the weeds with them.
Yeah. I look forward to the day where I might need a service dog for something because I think that sounds like fun. Even though people kind of hate you at airports and all that kind of stuff, I think it'd be fun to have a service dog help me around when I'm old. I'm not there yet. Don't need it quite
yet. And
by
the way, Kim Bingham is the singer who does that version of Veronica, had somebody asked.
Ah, Kim Bingham.
Yes, Kim Bingham.
She's had that great technology show in the 80s. That was Kim Commando. Sorry, Kim Commando.
Wow.
All right, Steven Schleicher is on deck. Let's get him in here. Doing everything. It's backwards day. It's reverse day.
Somebody just posted, Mutefly just posted a video of a dog going through the weeds and doing a great job until the very last one, and they just hit it head on.
Hit the middle of the post in his head?
Yes.
That's amazing.
You got to look at that.
All right, I'll take a look. From the country wilds of Kansas City. Well, nearabouts. We have Mr. Steven Schleicher on the line. Hi, Steven.
Far away from Kansas.
Yeah, it's actually City. Nowhere near Kansas, Kansas City. Actually. Sure. But you guys like the Chiefs, right? That's who you're supposed to root for.
Well, you know, this is, if you look on the map of people who love the Broncos and the people who love the Chiefs, right in this area is where that demarcation line is.
Oh, at. Weird.
They've
weird.
Done a weird study that shows it's basically based on the amount of merchandise sold for each team. Mm. And there's a line that just runs right up through the state from our county up and down. That is that borderline between Kansas City fans and Denver Broncos.
That seems like a good way to track it, too, because people who are that into the teams are buying the swag, and tracking where the swag goes is a pretty good indicator of who's on what side.
I guess. I don't know. It seems kind of dubious, I think.
And you're not much of a, I know you're not much of a, oh my gosh, my team, that kind of guy. No. But but if you had to, okay, here's one of those gun to your head stories. If you had to, Steven, where do you fall? You go Broncos or you go Chiefs?
Oh, well, if that's the only two that I get.
Yeah, that's all you get. That's all you get. Those two shitty teams are all you have.
Tell us your other Chargers. so the Chargers would be
probably.
Yeah.
All right.
But Broncos, out of those two, I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl quite a few more times than the Kansas City Chiefs.
I always like that. Remember that old commercial where the old guy is eating a Snickers and he's out painting the end zones and he's putting the Chiefs name and he writes chefs instead?
Chefs, right.
I always remember that being the funniest freaking commercial. I just love that commercial. And the old guy said something like, what did he say? He said, scrumbumptious or some kind of old man swear. Oh, it's awesome.
So,
Chat room, that's what you're here for. Go find me that. Fetch me that, please.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, it's fantastic having you on, as it always is.
Thank you.
And we're here to talk to you about things going on in the world of pop culture, comics, and more. I got something to read you real quick.
Okay.
Before we go any further, and this is about the DuckTales announcement.
Yes.
This is an email that we got from Bruce. I saved it for this part of the show.
Okay.
He says this, DuckTales is better than you think. He said, I was born in 82, and I remember the 80s staple cartoons like He-Man, Thundercats, and G.I. Joe, etc. I also was the prime age for the Disney afternoon lineup in the mid-90s. I had pleasant nostalgic thoughts about both eras of kids' cartoons, but with the advent of YouTube, I had the chance to actually revisit some of the great shows of my childhood, and you are correct. He-Man and the others 80s cartoons were incredibly low quality. The stories, the writing, the animation, the delivery were all just terrible. All the positive memories are coming from playing with the toys. Now, in the 90s, both Disney and Nickelodeon attempted to create new things rather than rerunning with the same cartoons in the 50s. Both decided to actually invest in writers and artists rather than just action figures. What they produced were shows that were filled with fully realized characters, fun and different adventures, a progressive connected plotline, etc. These shows actually respected their child audience enough to tell fun stories without resorting to preachy safety messages or flagrant marketing. I enjoyed DuckTales, but my favorite would have been Tailspin. Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck were also created at the same time. All of these are vastly superior to the staple of cartoons in the 80s. Love the show, though, Bruce. Now, I present that to ask you, because we've been asking each other and other people on the show where they stand with that kind of 90s Disney era thing. Where's your head at on this stuff?
DuckTales and that Disney afternoon block that came after that, a couple of years after that, was fantastic as far as animation goes. It was much higher quality. Of course, it was being done by Disney Studios. It was much higher quality, and the stories were really good. In the case of DuckTales, a lot of those got their inspiration from the Don Rosa Uncle Scrooge Adventure comics, and so it was very easy to tell a very rich, full tale with these characters from the comics for a like-minded audience. And to be honest, I honestly think that DuckTales, Tailspin, and some of those others were not targeted towards the 5 to 10-year-olds, but more along the lines of the 15 to 35-year-olds. I think this is where we're starting to see somebody kick in and say, hey, we need to be targeting the older demographic, because if you listen to some of the things that Launchpad McQuack says, they are definitely not targeted towards young kids as far as the humor goes.
Sure. And this is also Nickelodeon's time with Ren and Stimpy. I mean, things were changing.
Right.
And all for the better, in my opinion. But I think I've had some more time to think about it. I think my problem wasn't so much with the Darkwing Duck or this thing or any of the Disney lineup. I think my problem was specifically with Animaniacs. I thought they were trying to be Looney Tunes, and they never pulled it off. And everyone argues with me and says I'm wrong. I don't even think it came close. Mostly it's the animation that bugs me.
Well, so. I thought the animation was fine, and it was solid. Again, it was a nice start for a lot of famous people today. What's her name? Who does all the voice directing for the Warner Brothers movies? She got her start on the Animaniacs.
Yeah,
of course, it had a big Steven Spielberg backing for that. And a lot of people thought that this could be the new generation of the Looney Tunes. The problem was, and I think this is my biggest complaint about cartoons that kicked off today and have warped into something totally weird, especially if you look at the new Tom and Jerry and Woody Woodpecker, is you had to dumb down the violence. You had to take out the frying pans. You had to take out the, somebody falling down 50 stories so that kids wouldn't try that stuff themselves. Wow. And I think that kind of hurt the overall storyline. But Animaniacs did a pretty good job. The music in that series was wonderful.
Yeah, and I think so. Some of these actors and actresses are pretty well known now. Tress McNeil, mm-hmm. I think, is the one you're talking about.
I'm thinking of... I want to say her name's Adriana.
I should know this. Hold on.
Somebody in the chat room will shout it
Not
out.
Sherry Stoner.
Andrea Romano.
Yeah. Nancy Cartwright was there as well. She was doing The Simpsons at the same time, but Bernadette Peters was in there. I'm looking at this list.
I can see. I mean, there are definitely, look at Pinky and the Brain was a great thing. In its short subject form on Animaniacs, that was wonderful. And again, it's adult humor because kids aren't going to know who Orson Welles is. They're not going to know what this Orwellian complex that the brain had.
Yeah.
And so that's attracting and trying to dodge towards that older audience. And I think this announcement that Disney is bringing back DuckTales in 2017 is, again, another hope that they're going to get the older audience to say, hey, I remember DuckTales when I was a kid, son, daughter. Let me introduce you to the wonders that are DuckTales.
Well, there you go. Hopefully they'll find plenty to like there.
I hope so. I really hope so. I really hope that they continue along with that legacy of telling the Don Rosa stories. And if they do, it'll be perfect.
Well, it's a cool legacy in both ways. The old comics, the old show, and now a new show. So good luck with that. Tom Ellis has been cast as Lucifer for the Fox series Lucifer. No, what is it? Is it called Lucifer?
It's Lucifer. Yeah.
Now, is this this is based on a DC thing?
Yeah. So Neil Gaiman, when he rebooted Sandman back in the 80s, late 80s, 89, I think, he took Lucifer Morningstar, and turned him into not this pitchfork wielding, swing my tail kind of evil mustache twisting villain, into something that was more along the lines of what we saw in Paradise Lost. And that was such a popular character that he did get a spinoff series, and now Fox is going to take that series and adapt it into a television form.
That seems cool. I don't remember very much about him, though, the character.
I don't either. I haven't read a lot of the Sandman stuff. I've got a couple of the omnibus editions, but I haven't really taken the time to go in depth to find out about a character like Lucifer. But if you know Neil Gaiman's work, you know that his characters are very deep, very rich, and have a big backstory. In the case of Lucifer, of course, has a big backstory.
Yeah.
But I think this will be interesting. In this series, Lucifer decides he doesn't want to be king of hell. He goes back to Earth, and then he helps the police department in punishing criminals.
Wow. So pretty anti-hero story, it sounds like.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Mm. Well, that'll be cool. I'm excited about any time these comics get adapted. Once again, Warner Brothers and DC... kind of owning the TV space in terms of volume.
And there's more on the way.
Yeah.
We've been talking before, I think we mentioned it last week, that CW is looking to create a new spinoff show from The Arrow and The Flash that will star the Atom, Firestorm, and possibly one other character going forward. And of course, CBS has Supergirl coming up, and iZombie comes out, I think, next month or middle of this month, something like that, on the CW. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming.
Fascinating to see them lump the characters together rather than give Firestorm his own show or give, break him out.
Maybe not thinking that he's a strong enough character to support a solo show. Who knows?
Or maybe they want an ensemble or more of a...
Yeah, I think they're looking for an ensemble, and I honestly think we're starting to see the beginnings of a television version of a Justice League.
That's cool. It's really cool that we're finally getting a... back in the early days of Fox, I remember there was a few experiments, like What was the one with the, it was like the Mantis or something, or Mantis?
Yeah, Mantis was the name
there
of it.
There were a few stabs at like, hey, let's revive the comic book hero genre on TV. And they all failed to miserable extents. Like, they were never very good. There was like an X-Men attempt of some sort. I can't remember.
Yeah, there was. Generation X.
That wasn't on main network television. That was on cable network.
Oh, okay. Was in Fox? For some reason, I was thinking that was Fox.
No, it wasn't. I thought it was on TBS or TNT.
Could have been. I thought it was Fox, too, for some reason. But
maybe it was. But a lot of those things were in syndication. So Mantis failed because it was in syndication and couldn't get a footing there.
It just reminds me of, like, prior to the mid-90s, movies had the same problem. They just couldn't do it. They were bad, and they didn't do well, or the projects would get canceled all outright other than Batman. You know, it just didn't go well, or Superman, I suppose. Yeah. But now they've like figured it out, and I feel like we're headed toward what happened in the movie theaters with Marvel dominating so much. I feel like we're headed there on TV. And I think with DC.
And I think DC and
Warner Brothers are sitting there going, you know, it's an uphill climb to match what Marvel's doing in theaters right now. But we could get ahead of them on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I feel like they're saying. It may be too much, too spread out, too many cooks in the kitchen, because, you know, there's no unified vision the way there is with Feige and,
right,
and what's going on at Marvel.
Well, and the nice thing about the Flash and Arrow is they're being produced by the same production company. Was it Bernalti Productions, who's also producing the Supergirl series and who will more than likely produce the spinoff series from Flash and Arrow.
Okay, well. And there's some semblance of...
Yeah, yeah. The hard part is making your money. Because when you look at the production costs for some of these television shows, you're looking at anywhere from $1 million to $5 million per episode, depending on who you're casting. And then you put it on a network, sell it to a network like NBC or Fox. And if they can't sell the advertising, you're going to lose your budget pretty quick or run out of money pretty quick. And in some cases, what I've been able to calculate and determine, CW is barely breaking even on the cost per episode per advertising cost. Now, that's not counting reruns, that's not counting syndication, that's not counting DVD sales, but in an initial run, they're barely making a profit.
Yeah, wow. Well, good luck to them in all that they do.
Yeah.
Finally, news, speaking of which, we got two more people joining the CBS Supergirl series. I'm a little shocked by these choices. You want to tell people who's coming?
So, first of all, confirmed, David Harwood will be playing a ex-CIA agent working with an organization who's going to track down extraterrestrial threats on Earth. And then there is Chyler Lee, who's going to play Alex Danvers, Supergirl's foster sister. And she's kind of jealous of the powers that Supergirl has. So those are the two that have been announced. And then the hot rumor that popped up on Friday was that Dean Cain and Helen Slater have both been cast in super secret roles on the series.
Dean Cain, former Superman himself.
Yep.
And Helen Slater. What?
Helen Slater, Supergirl. Yeah.
Wasn't she Supergirl in something?
Oh, yeah.
In the movie, yeah.
That's right. So yeah. That's funny. I mean, that's a little stunty, but...
Well, it's no different than what they've done with The Flash by bringing back Tina McGee and the actress who plays Tina McGee and the actor...
Dad.
And the dad from the original Flash television series in the 90s.
Yeah. Let's see, I'm looking up Helen Slater here. I see what she's been up to.
I don't know what she's been up to. She was on an episode of Smallville back when that was still on the air.
Lovely woman. She's she's 51 and does not look a day over 30. Very pretty. She, let's see, I'm just skipping through here. She's been doing things. Not much, though, that you'd know. Lots of daytime TV.
Yeah.
And... and daytime television. That's basically it. She hasn't really done much else, but that's great. Bring her back. Why not? I mean,
if I were going to guess who these two are going to be, now they could totally surprise us and put, you know, do a like Brandon Routh where he becomes a regular character like the Atom.
Yeah.
But my guess is with these two, they're probably going to bring them in to play Kara Zor-El's parents on Krypton before it blows up.
Oh, like a little short.
Yeah,
that won't last a season or whatever. Just be a bit.
I don't think. I mean, Dean Cain is still in really good shape. He's a little bit too old to play Superman in this world.
Yeah.
And I don't know who Helen Slater would play in.
Yeah,
Dean
Cain, forever young, that guy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he can pull it off, but I just think he's a little bit not quite Superman material anymore.
Well, there you go. Put that on his tombstone. Not quite Superman material anymore. Well, I'll tell you what is Superman material, and really all things comic book material, and that would be majorspoilers.com, where people can go and find out all this kind of stuff and more. Steven, what's going on this week? Anything cool?
Oh, man. Critical Hit. We kicked off a brand new arc this week that people will definitely want to check out if you're into superheroes and role-playing games, and if you want to check out some new systems to play. We do it this week on Critical Hit Podcast.
That's
and,
awesome. Love that show.
Yeah, maybe next week you might hear a surprise voice pop up, maybe.
Oh, really? Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Ooh, that's a Johnson pulled if I've ever heard one.
Steven, in more than one way.
Steven, thanks so much. It's Major Spoilers on Twitter. Have a great week, dude. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye.
See you, Steven.
I love Steven.
Mm-hmm.
He's huggable.
It's a huggable fountain of comic information.
I'm going to now read a couple of emails, then we're going to get out of here.
All right.
Got an email from Eric who wrote in, says, Dear Sylvester and Bugs. Yeah, some more animation problems.
Oh, here we go, yeah.
Comparing animation between the old school Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, and Disney shorts to the cartoons that premiered on TV is not a fair comparison. The old school cartoons were done with movie-level quality, and they only produced 5 to 9 of those a year. So, yes, they were able to make a much higher quality because they were finely crafted. Goes on to sort of explain more about that, but he uses Star Trek as a comparison. He says, you wouldn't hate on Star Trek because the effects weren't up to par with Star Wars in the theaters, would you? No, I do complain about that, to be honest.
But why can't everything be as good as the best thing in the category?
It isn't so much that. He's not wrong about, you know, this is a comparison sure. A lot of people make, but that isn't actually my problem. I understand the budgetary change. I get the 24 episodes a year versus doing a one-off movie and in a different budget.
Farm it out and have other people. Yeah.
Sure, it's a different animal. I totally get it. My problem is that Animaniacs was approached as this is the rebirth of that stuff. We are going to give you that quality of stuff. So the promise is you're going to get Chuck Jones and you're going to get Tex Avery. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get the quality of those old things.
If they're going to attach it to that name.
Right.
Then they need to attach it to that quality.
Yeah, and it's not even that it was so much the name. It was them saying, quite literally, this is what this show will be. It'll be a rebirth of those things you used to love. And that part just didn't hold up for me. Now, if it just said, oh, it's a new cartoon and it's great and it's, you know, it's in the flavor of old Warner Brothers, but, you know, it's for a modern day or whatever, I might have been a little less picky like I am with Star Trek. Because with Star Trek, it was easy for me to say, yeah, this is TV, I get it. It's harder to make these effects and I get it. Mm-hmm. But with that, I felt like what they were trying to do was rebirth something. It's like the Tom and Jerry revival was so bad, so terrible, that Tom and Jerry stuff that came out in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, see, I didn't watch much of that. The one I did watch a little bit of that. I watched a little bit of Tiny Toon Adventures. I watched a little bit of Animaniacs. And for me, actually, Animaniacs was the thing that I thought had that higher level of fun for adults and fun for kids. Like, there was enough in there.
Mm-hmm.
That made me crack up. I mean, hey, you know, they had a Particle Man. They Might Be Giants cover in there.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did a Particle Man music video, cartoon music video for it.
Well, I know they had a lot of guest stars and had a lot of voice actors. That are big
deals. None of it was enough to, you know, make me watch it religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And we've
already admitted, you know, we aged out of what would really have hooked us at the time, But I was still hooked by things that weren't for me. Like, I don't know that Ren and Stimpy was for me when it came out, but it sure spoke to me, and I watched every Ren and Stimpy I could catch. Mm-hmm. Freaking love that. I watched a lot of Hey Arnold. What else was on? Oh, what was the one with the little Australian creature and his cow friend? What was that called?
I don't know. Australian
creature. Yeah, it was like a little Australian... Shit. I can't remember that animal. Chat room, help me out.
Is it a wombat?
Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, Rocco's Modern... Not Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's Modern Life? Yes, Rocco's Modern Life. That's it. Fantastic show, that thing. With that big cow, his friend the cow was great. I'm remembering very little because it's been so long. But I love those things. So yeah, you know, don't count me out of the decade. I loved everything that was happening. For whatever reason. And part of me was being a little snobbish, like, oh, it's Disney or it's Warner Brothers. Those guys are too big now. Like, I kind of had that attitude.
Wow.
You know, like Nickelodeon felt like
they're not indie enough anymore.
Yeah, they felt more indie and grassroots on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and these other ones. But now I feel that way about Cartoon Network. They have live action TV shows on Cartoon Network. What the hell is that?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Stop with that, please.
It's inappropriate. It's like the Learning Channel not having shows about learning.
All right.
Or then, History Channel not having shows about history.
An Adult Swim, I was into everything they were making. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, animation. It's for all kids. It's for kids of all ages.
Yeah.
All right. One more email from Andrew. He says, comments from a real cop. He's also from Pittsburgh. Okay. So we asked for an actual police to write in, Brian, and we got one.
Cool.
I appreciate
it. Oh, this is appropriate. This morning there was a new video of another.
Oh, another one. Great.
Yeah.
Well, this says this in regards to episode 772. I appreciate responsible comments and concerns from all sides regarding police conduct. I assume I'm always being watched and recorded when I'm working. Too often, video evidence released publicly is only a snapshot of what was recorded or what happened during the incident. Law enforcement is a challenging profession, and we need to be more honest about that bias, the bias that we bring to work with us. I've seen the entire spectrum of law enforcement officers during my career, from all backgrounds, some of whom have shocking little exposure to cultures other than their own. I've heard these same officers say horrible, bigoted, xenophobic things, and then observe them treat people from these groups with genuine courtesy and respect. I am lucky to have been raised with an appreciation for diversity and was not raised to say the N-word or other ethnic slurs. I've worked with individuals who have been raised in ignorance and still treat others fairly. I don't have a guilty conscience, and I'm not offended when people say that police are racist, because I know and my loved ones know that they're not talking about me, Andrew. That's an interesting perspective. He kind of sees it from both sides and understands what it means to not only be in the public eye and have to be responsible and do the best public good you can, but also that there's some ugly undersides and cops do the bad things.
It's a thing that we can learn, not just with the police, but, you know, when people make a statement, a blanket statement saying, all police are racist, or all Starbucks baristas are snobby hipsters.
Right.
You know, as long as you're one and you know you're not that, you can rest assured, you know, they're not talking about me.
Yeah. But the barista thing's true. That part's true.
There's great baristas out there.
Yeah, they're great. They're hipstery.
They're not hipster snobs. The one, they just turned an old Arby's into a Starbucks, so we call it Starbies over here by us. That's awesome. And the barista there was super nice.
I love that. That's a great conversion.
Yeah.
Starbies. That's great. Arbucks is even good. It's good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Arbucks.
All right, I'm going to play a call. This is a call.
Okay.
This is about stunt television again. So here you go.
Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Ricky from way up north in Berlin, New Hampshire, on the other side, almost on the other side of the wall. Speaking of show gimmicks, you guys forgot to mention, late 90s, I remember maybe TGI Friday with like Family Matter Home Improvement. The TV guide came with 3D glasses, and you could watch those shows on a special weekend, and the episodes were in 3D, so that was like a big gimmick in the 90s. Also, the ever popular gimmick that they still do now is Halloween shows. The Simpsons do it every year, obviously, with Treehouse of Horror. But you know, Roseanne, Family Matters, Home Improvement, even Parks and Rec—they all have Halloween episodes. Love the show, though. Bye.
Those are good comparisons. Sure,
very good example. Yeah, there was a bunch of 3D. I remember there being a bunch of 3D TV stuff in the 90s, and it was TV Guide, or you had to go to a 7-Eleven and get special. You know, the special 3D glasses. I think that 70s show did something 3D.
Yeah, I have some memory of that. That was a big deal for a while. In fact, there's a great Futurama episode that's not very old. In fact, it's the same one I was telling you guys about, the Minority Report episode last night. Talking about.
Yeah.
Part of it is they had 3D effects in it, and it was like the stereoscopic, like blurry, like red, green. You know, you could see it in the screen if you didn't have glasses on. It looked like that crappy old 3D on the back of a cereal box or whatever. And at one point, Zoidberg or somebody throws a sandwich into the screen, and it's all in 3D and it splats. But because you're watching a Minority Report themed episode, the text that came up says, "Put on your 3D glasses 3 minutes ago."
Nice.
It's one of the newer ones when it was over on Cartoon Network. It's fantastic. Great episode.
Cap Kipper, bro. Yeah, there was a Rolling Stones concert, a televised Rolling Stones concert that had 3D glasses that you could get to watch it on TV in 3D. About that. That was great.
Weird. How'd that work? Just 3D.
I remember being really good. It was well done.
Like guitars in your face and things like that, or.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got the stage, you've got Mick up in front, and you see it in 3D, like you're there.
Yeah. Well, like you're there, everybody.
It's like you're there.
Well, check this out. If you want to be a part of the show and have a call read or an email read or a call played.
We'll read your phone calls, too, if you'd like.
Sure, right. We'll read your phone calls and hear your emails. It's fine. themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. You can send attachments there as well. Keep them under a minute and interesting. That'd be great. The number is 801-471-0462. And you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS on Twitter, at Morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. Nerdtacular tickets going faster than ever. In the same 4 days since we opened it, we sold more tickets than we did the entirety of last year.
Wow.
In the months that we did it. So there are still tickets, but there are not many. So if you're on the fence, time to go check it out. Nerdtacular.com. All the details are there. Come see us and hang out with us in July.
Be there or you will be labeled a square.
Yeah, we don't want that. Nobody wants to be a square. Well, Huey Lewis might.
It's hip, right?
Is it? Is it still hip to be square?
Still hip to be square.
I don't think it's hip to say
Look
hip
how
anymore.
Prescient Huey Lewis in the news was back then, right?
Yeah, like
they knew.
A modern day prophet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Nostradamus of pop music.
It's Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
He's I like the guy. That.
Give him a beard.
And a new drug.
Yeah. That's it. We're done. Let's get the hell out of here. We got a real regular show tomorrow. Everybody will be there, so come back tomorrow. Brian, let's go out with some music. What do you got?
Sounds good. How about something going out to Victor Flores, who says, hello, Parappa and Chop Chop. Today, if this is played on March 2nd, is my dad's birthday, and I figured I would make a request today and publicly say to him, thank you, Dad, for all the support you've given me, especially recently with my crazy endeavor to become an author and release my book. You've been a huge support, and I don't think I could have gotten this far without you. Thank you, and I love you, Pops. Aww. The song I'm requesting is Shoot to Thrill, covered by Hailstorm. I chose this song because, like my dad, it rocks and it kicks ass. I'm next in the tadpole whenever I can make it, which due to work is pretty much only Thursday nights for the PM stream.
Sweet.
Love the show, though. Nax.
Right.
This is great. Yeah, good choice. Hailstorm and their Reanimate, the covers Volume 2 EP. Great stuff on there, including this great cover of AC/DC's Shoot to Thrill by Hailstorm. This
nice. Rocks. All right, let's play it. We'll be back tomorrow. Come on back now. You hear?
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What the f*** did I do wrong?
Yeah.